Amen. This morning, again, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me back to Acts chapter 7, we're going to take up where Brother David stopped, verse 54 through 60 is going to be our text this morning, the message from God's Word. Verse 54 tells us that when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. A couple Sunday nights ago, in Acts chapter 6, we witnessed the growing pains that began to occur in the life of the early church. And we talked about the gracious provision of God through the office and ministry of deacon that was born there. In the last half of Acts chapter 6, we see a godly portrait of a deacon. We meet this man by the name of Stephen. He was spirit-filled. He was his face shone like that of an angel. He was a godly portrait, a godly example. He was a beacon of a deacon, one who would shine the way and pave the way for all in the church to grow and to serve and to minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of that, he was Satan's target. He was arrested. He was brought before the Sanhedrin. And in verses 1 through 53, Brother David read it this morning, very important to understanding our text this morning. This was the message that Stephen proclaimed. Now tonight, Lord willing, we're going to look at that message together and see the great message of salvation and the proclamation of the Savior and the conviction of sin that was brought through that message. We're going to look at that this evening. But this morning in our text, we want to see what happened next. And it's not what you would expect from such a glorious gospel message. Instead of the altars being filled and people coming to repent and trust in Christ, no, they come after the preacher. They come after Stephen and they end up stoning him. You see, that's what the world does to those who are just like Jesus. They come after you. They persecute you. And this morning, that's what I want to talk about this morning, being just like Jesus, what it means, what it takes, what it costs to be just like Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, again we worship you. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God, thank you for that glorious truth. Lord, as we look to your word today, we ask you now to illuminate our minds and our hearts to the truth of your word. And Lord, God, just instruct us as your people. Lord, convict us as sinners. Lord, challenge us in the areas of apathy and complacency. Lord, comfort us in the areas in which we're in need of your comfort and grace in our life. God, we believe as your people that your word will always accomplish what you send it forth to do. And Father, we pray that as it goes forth today, that it would accomplish a great work in every heart and in every home that's represented. God, bring victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. God, as the messenger, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. Fill me with your spirit. Free me, Lord, to preach what thus saith the word of God. Lord, to the end that we might all be just like Jesus, that the glow of heaven would rest upon our lives and upon our countenance, that others would see you and be drawn unto you. And Lord, we'll be careful, Lord, to give you that praise and glory and honor that only you deserve. But we ask it all, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the verses of our text this morning, we're witnessing the last moments and the last words of this man by the name of Stephen. We've met Stephen the man in Acts chapter 6. He's one of the first deacons. He's a beacon of a deacon. He was Spirit-filled, so full of Jesus that his face literally shone like the face of an angel. He was a soul winner. He was one that was active, involved in the church, and used to help bring people to a saving knowledge of the Lord. And therefore, he was also Satan's target. And so we've witnessed, again, we read this great message that he preached. He preached it as he was standing before the Sanhedrin. He had been falsely accused of blaspheming Moses, the law, and the temple, just like Jesus had been falsely accused. And he stood before them to declare the Word of God and reveal that Jesus was the Messiah and that they were the ones who were blaspheming the law and Moses and the temple. And more than that, that they were the ones who were guilty of rejecting the Lord Jesus as their Messiah and their Savior. You see, everything about this man and his message, it's just like Jesus. He looked like Jesus. He lived like Jesus. He talked like Jesus. And all he had to talk about was Jesus. The world wanted to do away with Jesus, and so the world will want to do away with anyone who's just like Jesus. But I don't know about you, I would love for it to be said of me that in my life I was just like Jesus. In fact, I believe every true Christian would want it to be said of them that they were just like Jesus. You know, I've been confused with many people over the years. There have been many times that people have thought that I look like someone else. I remember when I used to go to the Y a lot and work out in the gym, and I'd be in there, and a lot of times I'd meet people, and people would start a conversation. They'd say, are you a highway patrolman? You look just like a highwayman that pulled me over one time. You know, I don't know if it's my short hair or what it was, but, you know, I would say, no, I've never been a highway patrolman, but I guarantee you this, there's a lot of folks I'd love to pull and give a ticket one time. There have been times where someone said, hey, are you in the military, or are you a Marine, or are you... You know, no, I've never been in the military. One time I had someone ask, are you a teacher? You look just like a teacher. I've been confused with a lot of people. And you know what? That tells me at least one thing. There's a lot of good-looking patrolmen and Marines and teachers in this world. But it also convicts me of one thing. I've never had someone come to me and say, Ken, you're just like Jesus. With all my heart, with all my soul, I desire that one day it would be said of me, and that when I leave this world, it may be said of me that he was just like Jesus. This morning I want us to come face to face with the fact that there is a price to be just like Jesus. You see, Stephen the man, as he lived his message, we find him in our text, Stephen the martyr. He lived like Jesus and he died like Jesus. Not that he died for our sins, because only Jesus could do that, but he died like Jesus in the fact that the world wanted to do away with Jesus, and they'll want to do away with those who look like, talk like, live like, and act like the Lord Jesus. And so we see this truth. There's a price. If you want to be just like Jesus, you got to be willing to live like Jesus and live for Jesus. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to be willing to live for Jesus if you want to be accused of being just like Jesus. When you're willing to be living for Jesus, you must be ready to die like Jesus. I don't know truly which would be harder, living for Jesus or dying for Jesus. But I know this, if you're not living for Jesus, you're not going to have to worry about dying for Jesus. There's a cost when it comes to being just like Jesus. You know, over the years, we've had the privilege to meet some men whom I consider just like Jesus. We had M.A. Thomas in this pulpit on several occasions. And you know the story of his life in India and the great persecution that he went through. You also know his heart. He wanted to die as a martyr for Christ. The Lord took him home in the presence of family as a result of cancer and all. But his passion was to die for Jesus. His son Samuel has taken up that torch of faith. And in India today, he still faces arrest and trials in court. And he still ministers for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that any time there, he could become a martyr. But he loves Jesus and he lives for Jesus. And nothing would bring greater joy to him if he would have the privilege to die for Jesus. Here's the picture of just such an individual. Here's a man by the name of Stephen. And when we live our lives for Jesus, the reason we must be willing to die for Jesus is because when you're just like Jesus, your life is going to bring conviction. And everywhere I look in this text, I see conviction. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Look at the conviction in the text. First of all, he was just like Jesus. And as he stood before the Sanhedrin, we see the conviction of the Sanhedrin. Look at their response to this message that he proclaimed that Brother David read. Look in verse 54. He says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth." So here's Stephen. He's filled with the Spirit of God. He's speaking the Word of God in the power of God, and that brings conviction in their life. Folks, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to speak the Word of God, and if you're going to stand for the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God and live your life according to the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God within you, hear me, your life is going to bring conviction in the life of those who are lost and don't know Jesus and don't follow God. It's just a simple fact, a simple truth. And folks will respond to that conviction in one of two ways. Some respond favorably. Some see their need of Christ and come to know Him. But some respond with rejection, even ultimately to a point of hostility and anger and rejection and persecution towards you. That's exactly what we see here in this text. Here's the Sanhedrin, and they're experiencing conviction, but we see their hearts are hard. Look at their hard hearts. Says there, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That word cut there, it means to be sawn asunder. See, that's exactly what the Word of God does when we're confronted with it in our lives. It saws us in two. It cuts right down to the nitty-gritty of our lives. It exposes our sin. It exposes our hypocrisy. That's what the author of Hebrews tells us about the Word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "The Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of their heart." So the Word of God, it cuts right down to our souls. It exposes that. They were cut to the heart. They were convicted. Their sin, their hypocrisy was literally laid bare before them, and they responded not in repentance, but in rejection. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They responded like a wild animal that has been wounded, and in the midst of that wound is for its life lashing out against the one that has caused the wound. In fact, their gnashing of their teeth is literally a prelude of what they, apart from the grace of God, have probably been experiencing for every time since their death, for all of time. Because you know what? Jesus said hell is going to be a place of the weeping and gnashing of teeth. They responded in rejection. They lashed out in hatred. They had clearly heard the gospel at least three times. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John was arrested when the lame man was healed, and Peter proclaimed the truth of Jesus, the risen Savior. In Acts chapter 5, Peter speaking for the apostles. They've been arrested and he again proclaimed the truth of a risen Savior. And they were beaten because of it. Here in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, the first deacon, is called in before them and he himself proclaims the truth of Christ. And he proclaims the gospel. And each time they heard it, their hearts got harder. And each time they rejected the gospel, their reaction towards it was harsher. You see, the last time they heard it, they beat Peter and the apostles. Here they are stoning Stephen. There's a great truth here that we must understand from the Word of God, that when our hearts are cut open with conviction by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, when we reject that, when we harden our hearts towards that, then our hearts become even harder the next time we're faced with the Word of God and with the gospel. Look in the Old Testament. Look in the life of the man Pharaoh that Moses came to, and he began to declare God's word that he was to let God's people go. And in every plague that was given, you hear in the beginning, you hear Pharaoh as he says he hardened his heart and refused to let the people go. But look, as it goes on, you'll find the word of God begins to change this description. It begins in those last plagues to tell us that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, there's a truth that we must understand, that when lives are laid open by the conviction of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, that when we reject it, our hearts get harder. And the harder our hearts get, there comes this time to where God Himself is hardening our hearts through the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the Word of God will always accomplish what He sends it forth to do. And folks, I believe that with all my heart. What breaks my heart is that I know this truth. When God's Word goes forth every Sunday morning, God's Word always accomplishes what it's sent forth to do. For some, it's there to convict and save, but sadly for some, it's to continually harden their heart because they have time and time again refused to repent. And so what a sad testimony when in the altar call, no one hits the altar. Could it be hearts have been hardened by the Word of God rather than convicted, transformed by the Word of God? Here they are. Their hearts are hardened. Their heads are hard. Look at verse 57. It says, then they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. And they ran upon him with one accord. Here they are. Their heart's not just hard, their head's hard. They're refusing to receive the truth. And they're intent on doing away with the messenger. They're intent on silencing him and stoning him and killing him. Folks, you do know that this group, this Sanhedrin, these religious leaders, this is the third time they have been involved in the murder of someone. They allowed John the Baptist to be murdered. They didn't do anything. They didn't try in any way to save him from Herod when he was locked in prison and ultimately beheaded. They asked for Jesus to be crucified. They demanded that Pilate would crucify him. And now, here they are responsible for the stoning of Stephen, the first deacon in the early church. See, they've rejected the witness of God the Father in John. They've rejected the witness of God the Son in Christ. Now they're rejecting the witness of God the Holy Spirit through His church, through His apostles, through even one of these first deacons in the life of the early church. They are rejecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And you know what Jesus said about that? He said, that's the unpardonable sin. Look what it said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. In other words, God will forgive you of any and every sin, folks, but there's one sin He cannot and will not forgive, and that is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior through repentance and saving faith. I mean, that's just the bottom line. That's the only unpardonable sin. We have the witness of God the Father and His Word. We have the witness of God the Son in His death, burial, and resurrection. And we have the witness of the Holy Spirit of God today through the church, through the preachers, through the teachers, through the lives of Christians, living for Jesus, sharing the truth. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit of God that we're sinners, we're in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that only Savior. And today, to reject that message, to reject that witness, leaves you lost for all eternity, no hope, no help, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sin that God cannot and will not forgive you of. The unpardonable sin. And so here's this conviction of the Sanhedrin. And sadly, like many today, their hearts are hard, their heads are hard, and they reject rather than repent and receive Christ. But now notice, there's still conviction here in this text. Now we see the conviction of Stephen in the text, in some of the verses that follow. See, Stephen's now, he's brought before the religious crowd. He's convicted by them. He ends up being stoned by them. And folks, again, if you're going to live for Jesus and like Jesus, you're going to be convicted by the world. You're going to face persecution for that. You may ultimately could even lose your life. Many throughout the world are losing their life today for the cause of Christ. And yet in the midst of that, being convicted by the world, we see the conviction of Stephen in the midst of that. Look at the conviction that Stephen had in the vision and in his voice and in the victory that we see here in the midst of this stoning. Look at the vision that he had. Verse 55, it says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." See, God gave Stephen a little glimpse of heaven. The mob is being incited now to stone him. And the Spirit of God lifts his gaze above them to where he looks up to heaven and he sees what few have seen. In fact, few men in the Bible were able to look into heaven. And Stephen is one of those few. And what he sees there, that glimpse of heaven, he sees the Shekinah glory of God there on the throne. And he sees Jesus, the Son of God, standing at the right hand of God. Now folks, that's interesting because the Bible tells us when he went back to heaven, Jesus sat down at the Father's right hand. He sat down because his work was through, the work of salvation, the work accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. But now Stephen's getting stoned. Stephen's getting ready to enter into eternity, into heaven. And what does he see? Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You know why I believe he was standing? Well, I believe he was cheering Stephen on. He was just like Jesus. I believe he was getting ready to welcome one of his children home. He was going to receive him. He was ready and awaiting him. What a glorious vision that Stephen had. What a glorious glimpse of heaven. And folks, I believe with all my heart that the conviction of the Christian is this, that though the world convict us and try to do away with us and would ultimately maybe even kill us, we have a heavenly Father in heaven awaiting us, His Son Jesus, who will be there to applaud us, to receive us and await us. Thank God for that glorious vision that Stephen had. But now listen to his voice. The Spirit lifted his eyes to see heaven, and the Spirit of God anointed him to proclaim with his voice a great testimony. Look what he said in verse 56. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Do you remember at Jesus' trial that he responded to some of the questions, he responded by saying, "You will see me at the right hand of God." Jesus was declaring before that religious leaders, he was declaring his deity, that yes, he was the Messiah, that yes, he, the Son of Man, was the Son of God, that he was the second person of Godhead, that he would be sitting on the throne as the second person of the triune Godhead. He was declaring all of those things. And now here's Stephen, he looks into heaven, he sees that, and before the same crowd of religious leaders, He lifts his voice in testimony and says, I see him. I see that Son of Man. He is standing at the right hand of God. You know what Stephen was doing? He was declaring, yes, he's the Savior. Yes, he's the Messiah. Yes, he's the Son of God. Yes, he's at the right hand of God in all position of authority and power. You see, when we are faced with persecution in our life, the conviction that we have from God's Word should lead us to keep our eyes on heaven and to keep our voices lifted in proclaiming the truth that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior of sinners. No matter what it cost us in this life, we need to declare that glorious truth. Then notice his victory. Verse 59 and 60, it says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Many would say, well, that doesn't sound like victory there. It sounds like he was a victim. But folks, he was the victor. Many would say, well, what did God do for Stephen while he was being stoned? He gave him peace. In the midst of the persecution, he also gave him the grace to pray for the enemies that were stoning him. Do you see that? You hear in the last words of Stephen, do you not hear the last words of the Lord Jesus? Oh, he's just like Jesus. Remember Jesus on the cross? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And here Stephen says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. See, again, Jesus committed his spirit to God the Father, and Stephen commended his to Jesus. Again, Stephen is proclaiming Jesus is God. He prays as he's there being stoned, just as Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here Stephen prays, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Do you see the grace? Do you hear the grace? Stephen knew where he was going. He was going to heaven. Jesus was standing, waiting, ready to receive him. But he also knew where they were going. And he prayed for them, for God's grace and salvation in their life before it was too late. He's the victor. He's not the victim here. He's the winner. And I love the way it ends there. It says, as they were stoning him and his death came, it says, he fell asleep. What a beautiful way to describe the death of a Christian. The death of a saint. Something not fearful, but something as peaceful as falling asleep. So many people have taken this text and texts that describe death in this way, and they've come to the opinion that the Word of God teaches that we just fall asleep, that our souls, we just fall asleep. And yet nothing could be further from the truth in God's Word. And so many people, it's so hard for them to grasp what God's Word makes very clear. Death is like sleep to the child of God. It's no longer an enemy that we fear. It's our greatest friend. We who've been convicted by the world and maybe even killed by the world are conveyed out of this world into the presence of God by death. Just as this past week, Miss Marie on her recliner laying there sleeping as she passed away from this life, she fell asleep. It was free of suffering and she just passed from this life. Her body, yes, lays at rest at Carolina Memorial Gardens. But her soul, her spirit is with the Lord Jesus and with her husband even now. The Bible proclaims over and over. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 5:8, Philippians 1:23. There's this absence from the flesh and being present with the Lord. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 that people are conscious and awake. The beggar, he was conscious and awake in Abraham's bosom. The rich man was conscious and awake in the fires and flames of hell. While our bodies may lay at rest in the grave, our spirit rests there in the presence of the Lord, and it's alive. Revelation 6 talks about the souls of the martyrs under the altar, crying out and praying and calling upon God. Hebrews talks about in chapter 12, the spirits of unjust men made perfect that reside in heaven. It is clear. And here's the point of the conviction of Stephen. While he was being stoned, while he was losing his life, while he died, yet it was victory. He entered into the presence of God. He come before the throne of God. He heard the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Death's no longer our enemy. Death is our friend because Jesus died and was buried and rose again. No matter what we face in life, no matter if it cost us our life to live for Jesus, there should be this conviction. The worst thing you can do to me is kill me. And as Clint Eastwood would say, make my day. Now, thirdly, I want you to see something else. There's the conviction of Saul that's hinted at in our text this morning. Verse 58, it says, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." The Spirit of God just mentions in passing here this young man by the name of Saul. He's involved very deeply in this event. He's up front. He's a part of it. He is committed to Judaism, and he's greatly in support of what they are doing to Stephen as he's holding the robes and clothes of those older men who are now throwing the stones and casting the stones at Stephen. He's a devout learner and he's a supporter of Judaism, a rising star on the religious scene of Israel. And yet as he witnesses this, there's something about the face of Stephen that I believe he never got over. I believe he carried with him throughout the rest of his life. He carried with him the face of Stephen and how as he was being stoned and his face and body being pelted with those large rocks, how there was nothing but a glow of heaven. There was nothing but the grace and peace of God and in the prayers as he prayed to God and as he asked for the forgiveness and grace of God in the life of those that were stoning him. You see, it was Stephen's face, I believe, that God used to begin to bring conviction in Saul's life. I'm sure the early church thought, boy, the blood, the martyrdom of Stephen, that it was of such a waste. And yet, Father, people today, I want you to understand, God the Father never wastes the blood of His servants, no more than He wasted the blood of His Son on the cross of Calvary. Stephen's life was the seed corn that was placed in the ground. His blood that was spilt was the water that watered it. And it sprouted forth in the life of a young man by the name of Saul who would meet Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus. And his life would be forever changed. He would become Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles. And Acts 13 through the 28 will be all about what God did through Paul. See, Stephen's face was used to bring Saul, face to face with Jesus. I'm thinking of the life of a man by the name of Jim Elliot. Many of you probably read the story. If you haven't, you need to. You need to read his biography. You need the story of this young missionary and those that were with him. In 1948, he wrote this in his journal. "I seek not a long life, but a full one." In 1950, he wrote this, "I should not think it strange that God takes youth, for He is peopling eternity." And in 1956, he and four other missionary friends were murdered and cannibalized by the tribe that they were seeking to reach with the gospel. Not one convert in that tribe. They were murdered and eaten by. But God does not waste the blood of his martyrs. Their wives were used to lead men and disciple men in the faith that murdered their husbands. And that tribe was converted to the gospel. You see, the glory that shone on Stephen's face was used by the Spirit of God, and ultimately Saul met Jesus face to face. There we see the conviction of Saul. Augustine said this, one of the early church fathers, if Stephen had not prayed, the church would have not had Paul. Folks, that's really what this message is all about this morning. Being just like Jesus. Whether you're a preacher, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a choir member, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a children's church worker, no matter where you are, wherever you are, whatever you do in life, it's just all about being just like Jesus. Oh yeah, it may cost you, but it's nothing compared to the glory of entering into His presence and knowing that there'll be many who'll come with you because of what Christ accomplished in and through you. Your life will never be wasted. Your blood is never wasted when it's lived and given for the glory of God. See, in life and death, Stephen was just like Jesus. He was filled with the Spirit, just like Jesus. He was full of grace, just like Jesus. He was confronted by the religious, just like Jesus. He was convicted by lying witnesses, just like Jesus. He was mocked. It was a mock trial, just like Jesus. He was executed, though he was innocent, just like Jesus. Because he was accused of blaspheming, just like Jesus. He died outside the city, just like Jesus. He was buried by sympathizers, just like Jesus. He prayed for the salvation of those who killed him, just like Jesus. And one day, his body will come forth from the grave, just like Jesus. Oh, that it would be said of our lives, we were just like Jesus. But this morning, I leave you with this truth. You'll never be just like Jesus until you come to know Jesus. Till you experience Him face to face. Till you surrender before Him in repentance and saving faith. See, this can go two ways here this morning for you. You can leave here like Saul and have your life so transformed that people will think you're a different person because of His grace. Or you could leave here like the Sanhedrin, gnashing your teeth, rejecting the gospel, and ultimately facing the Christless eternity that awaits everyone who refuses to repent. Oh, I pray that we all meet Jesus today and that we all leave here just like